Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. If this is your first time here visiting with us, we just want to take a second to welcome you and just show our appreciation, our gratitude for you choosing to come and join us here at River of Hope and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome. I hope that you have found a warm welcome from somebody sitting across from you as you walked in the doors, that you just felt home. And that's what we hope for. That's what we strive for here at River of Hope. And it is the most pure and genuine expression of family in this place. So thank you to all of you, and thank you to our first-time visitors this morning. We're going to pray before we take up our morning tithes and offerings. Before we do that, I just want to take a second to thank every single person who does continually give from their own income for their tithes, for their offerings. You guys are the source of everything that kind of flows through here to be able to continue ministry, to keep the lights on, to keep this place warm when the snow starts falling, all of that fun stuff. You guys really are the back of everything that happens here. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for honoring God through your income and through his provision to you. This morning, let's pray before we take up our tithes and offerings, if you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord God, this gorgeous weekend that you've blessed us with. Lord, we stop to remember what you have done for us this morning. Lord, every provision you've given us, from the shelter over our heads to the finances and food on our table, Lord God, we know it comes from you. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we give back to you from what you have blessed us with, Lord, and we ask that you would receive it, that you would bless it, Father, that you would bless those that give to you this morning. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. John, are you helping with announcements this morning?
Our morning service here. So, let's see. Lots of volunteer and ministry opportunities. And if you haven't already had an opportunity to look at the table on the foyer area, there's a wealth of places that you could serve within the church, and a wealth of places that we need you to serve. So, an opportunity after church before you bolt out of here to head to the barbecue. Take a look at that. I think that'll be out there for at least another week. So if you don't get a chance to look at it today, you'll certainly get an opportunity to see it again in the future. So we've got a great life group going on Wednesday night here. Kevin's leading it. It's Habits of Grace. It's not too late to start. Everybody could use the ability to form grace as a habit. So feel free to join us for that. Let's see. Hope Rocks, October 21st, pack of tickets giveaway, comedians, and a concert, and an adoption benefit all wrapped up in one. That would be from 5 to 9 p.m., so the 21st would be three Saturdays. So that's coming up soon enough. Josh and Lacey are hosting Backyard Barbecue today. There's directions on the foyer. They don't live terribly far from here. I'm sure to be lots of good food, so if you didn't plan ahead and sign up to bring something, don't let that keep you from coming. There's never a shortage of food and drinks and a good time. Ladies Connect, October 28th, Sandy is doing brunch and beauty. I possess none of those things, but show the ladies here in the church do, and I'm sure Sandy would love to have you guys come. $10 roughly for the cost. Sign up as soon as possible so Sandy can put together materials and things like that. Let's see. Oh, yes. Nate and Amy, who are not here today. There's a reception at the Gad Hall on October 7th for them. If you are intending to go, you should try to RSVP with them. Contact number for them, so Facebook would be my next suggestion. And if you're going, you probably are friends with them on Facebook. Future, looking way out there. Thanksgiving is coming. So we're going to do a meal November 12th. Christmas tree decorating. It's 26th of November, and we're going to tear down the church sometime after the new year. So, things to bear in mind. Again, please sign up for any of those ministries out before here, and we look forward to seeing you at the barbecue. Directions are on the table outside.
All right, thank you, John. One quick addendum to the announcements. Nate and Amy have also extended invitation to the wedding, which, being that I'm officiating, I should know what time it is on Saturday. What? Okay, 2 o'clock. Thank you, Wanda. Appreciate that. It's in my phone. I'll get a reminder. Trust me, I'll be here. But, yes, they have extended invitation to all of you to attend the wedding. So it is 2 o'clock this coming Saturday. I'm sure it might take a little bit longer than Clinton Sarah's. I think we're close to holding a record on that one for time. But anyway, you are all invited. If you have not been here the past few weeks and haven't caught up with all of the unfoldings of the last few weeks that are happening here at River of Hope, you would have missed the announcement that Amanda and myself and my family are actually being called out of Medford, and we are moving our way to central, north central Minnesota. Time frame it's not set. Okay, so we don't have a deadline. What we do know is we will serve here at River of Hope through the end of October. I will say this, I try to reinforce this each and every week. The foundation that God has put in place here at River of Hope is strong. It's broad. It is one that can be built upon, and you can continue to see growth and success. And that is something that God has continued to reinforce in myself and in Amanda, in Josh and Lacey as our children's leaders, even in our board. Those guys are a united and strong group of people and leaders. And so you can have confidence in the leadership structure of this church. You can have confidence in the fact that this church is rooted in its faith in Christ. And that is the most important fact about the leadership of River of Hope. I'm gonna jump into a message this morning. We're going to read out of 1 Peter today. I'm going to start in verse 3, actually. So if you have your Bibles with you or an app on your phone or anything of those sorts, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Verse 6. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. In verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Verse 13, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You did not know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for the writings of Peter. This morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, that anything that comes from my lips, Lord, would be straight from you, that you would allow us to have our minds and our ears open to hear the word you have for us today. We thank you, Jesus, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill this room and to fill this place. Help us to see the truth in your word this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. First Peter chapter 1. I love how Peter, after his initial welcome in the chapter here, his initial response is praise. The first thing he's doing after he welcomes people and greets people is praise God. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's worthy to be praised. That word alone right there gives us reason to have joy and to have confidence and to praise God. Because God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we can live with great expectation. Isn't that amazing? Because of Jesus and his act of coming to earth and living and dying, being crucified and raised from the dead, we can now look back on that and believe in that as fact and truth as we know it. And because of that, we can live in great expectation that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what trials and struggles we go through, there is something coming that far surpasses any hope or dream of anything we can stand on here and now. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled. Can I tell you something? If there is something that is waiting for us in heaven, you know for a fact that there is no hint of something wrong within that, what is waiting for us. What are you doing? You're making me so I don't trip. Okay. Sometimes you just gotta ask. If there is something in heaven, you know that it is without fault. There cannot be something in the presence of God that has something wrong or has a fault or has something that is not worth having hope in. Does that make sense? There can be no evil, no wrong, no sickness, no anything we would consider to be something that we don't want a part of in the presence of God. So when we read this passage, it says we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. You know for a fact that that inheritance is something that you should be longing for, that you should be dreaming about. I can tell you right now, I don't know what that inheritance fully entails, except living in the presence of God. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing this side of heaven that will even bring any comparison to that experience. I mean, you can think about the greatest thrills, the greatest experiences you've ever had, and it pales in comparison to just being in the presence of God, let alone what he's actually going to allow us to take part of when we receive our inheritance in heaven. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. That alone is a powerful statement. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. I know for a fact there are many of you in this place who, if you were willing, would give a loud amen to that statement alone. Because you know for a fact that you have lived your life and you have escaped situations and you have lived through accidents and you have been preserved through situations where you should have been 6 feet under, but because of the grace of God and Him protecting you so that you could receive His salvation, you are still alive and you are still here for a reason. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. As I just shared about God's hand protecting us, by Him preserving our life until the point when we can receive salvation. Maybe that statement alone allowed you to kind of realize, you know what, I think I'm starting to understand why, you know, that car accident I was in 2 years ago, or, you know, that addiction I had and I struggled with that somehow I got out of, or that relationship I was in that was just not good and it was bad on all fronts. I can begin to see why I went through the pain and the struggle to get out of it, or why by God's grace I managed to live through that accident. Maybe now you're starting to connect the dots and say, wait a minute. You're telling me that time I should have died, or that time I should have just had all sorts of issues and been beyond any safe place. That was God. I can stand here in confidence and say the answer is yes. That answer is yes. If you have experienced things in life that you know, looking back at, you know what, I'm really lucky to be alive. I'm really lucky to have been spared. I'm really lucky that car was, 10 seconds later than it was, because if I hadn't been through that intersection, I'd have been, you can, you know, I can paint a picture for you, but I'm sure your picture is much more vivid than what I can paint. Because you know that experience in your life. What I'm here to do is to connect the dots for you, that experience that you were preserved from is by the grace of God. And it is because He desires for you to connect with Him and to come to faith in Him, to be restored into the family of Jesus Christ, to accept Him in salvation. Verse 6, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. You might be much like Amanda and myself recently, where you've been trying to navigate life. And you know that God is calling you to do something, and you are just trying to make sure you're doing what He calls you to. And in that process, it might be testing you to see if you are really willing to follow. If you think of Abraham in the Old Testament, Abraham was called to leave his family, to leave his land, to leave everything he knew, but to go to the land that God had promised him. I'm not at any rate comparing Amanda and myself leaving everything we know here to that of Abraham being called. What I'm trying to do is reveal that even though Abraham was called, he had to go through periods of trials and testing to get to where he was going, to get to the promised land. In fact, Abraham never even reached the promised land. But the promise was still fulfilled, because the scripture said, you know what, you, Abraham, will have children as numerous as the descendants, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And yet, no matter what Abraham went through in the experience of his life, he continued to hope for that which he was promised. And now, looking back, we can see that everything that was promised to Abraham in the Old Testament was fulfilled. It's interesting as we think about promises of God. I'm kind of getting a little bit on a rabbit trail here, but I'm going to run with it for a minute. When you think about the promises of God, we need to understand that what God promises will come to pass. The hitch in that statement is what God promises might come to pass after you're gone, but it will come to pass. There was a, that kind of brings me back to a something, actually I believe the people that had seen this vision, if you will, are here today. Somebody came up to a man and myself and they said, you know what, I just had this dream, I had this vision, this church was packed, it was full, the seats were full, people were standing room only, and there was a worship team that filled the whole stage, and I, you know, just vivid details. And you know, that was a dream that they passed on to myself and to Amanda as really the leaders of this church. And you know what, I believe that's going to come true. I just might not be the one that's here to see that happen. But as much as I care for this community and Amanda cares for this community and we love this church and we love each and every one of you in this place, we hope and we long for what has been promised for this community. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. We're called to walk through the trials with our faith. As Christians, as believers, we know that we already stand in victory because of what Jesus Christ did. This is something that was shared at men's conference 2 weeks ago. There was one thing that Satan was kind of holding over the head of God that was one of the things that no other person had been able to defeat, and that was death. Right, so you have Jesus who dies on the cross and he's buried in the tomb. And Satan's just like, you know what, I got this. This is it, it's done. And yet you've got Jesus who comes back out and says, uh-uh, I got this, you're done. And he takes away that power, that strength, the one stronghold over creation was death. But when Jesus rose back from the dead, he took that back and he holds the power over everything. What that means is that no matter what trial we are going through, Jesus holds power over it. And we being believers, being people who are saved by faith through Jesus Christ, hold that same power. Because it's the Spirit of God who lived in Jesus, who raised Jesus from the dead that lives within inside each and every one of us. I hope you can connect the dots to the power of that statement. So be truly glad. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold, do you hear that? Peter is letting us know, you know what, any earthly thing we can hold on to, anything that we can put value in here on earth, your faith and your life in Jesus Christ is far more valuable than anything we can receive or hope for here. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Do you understand that that's saying when Jesus Christ is revealed, when he returns in the end times, people are going to look at you and say, wait a minute, what you stood on is true. The faith and hope that you lived your life in is true. You were not swayed by the world, you were not swayed by the culture, you were not swayed by desires and hopes for things that you could attain here. You stood on your faith in Jesus Christ. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Let me tell you something. Anything we can hear from our brothers and sisters in Christ here on earth, it's okay. You know, it's nice to get a pat on the back. It's great to hear a thank you and a job well done. But it is nothing like hearing Jesus say, "Good job, my faithful servant." If there's one thing we need to hope for and attain and strive for, is that we live each and every day of our life following where God leads us. And sometimes that means we have to pick up where we live and leave everything we love and everything we've worked for to go and follow God. Verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The men of God that we read from in the Bible, most of them walked with Jesus. They were by his side. They experienced everything Jesus himself had to offer. Seeing firsthand people being healed and raised from the dead, you name it, they saw it. Standing beside Jesus. And here we are, not having Jesus to look at, but having his experiences to learn from. We are credited to have more faith than the men who stood beside Jesus because we believe in him when we cannot see him. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. It's our faith in him that saves us. It's not anything we try. It's not anything we can do. It's not any action we have or any words we say. But it's the fact that we believe that Jesus came and died and was raised from the dead. What that is saying to you right now is that is disconnecting you from that salvation process. What I mean by that is you are not having to do anything. Let me rephrase. You cannot do anything that will connect you to God and restore that relationship with him except by believing in Jesus Christ. It's kind of like at Christmas when you kind of get there and you think back to being a little kid and you get there and you're just looking at all of these things under the tree and you're getting excited about what's there. I would venture to say that most of us had the experience where we didn't have to do anything to earn those gifts. We just had to make sure we didn't snoop at anything to make sure we got them. The point is, salvation is a free gift. It's not something you are doing. It's not something that is conditional upon who we are or how we live. It's only conditional upon our faith and our ability to believe in that gift. Salvation was something, this is verse 10, even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. Isn't that pretty amazing? The people that lived with Jesus Christ, the people that walked along the roads with him, that were sailing in ships and enduring all of these tests and trials with Jesus, were told that the message I'm giving you is not for you, but it's for us. That should mean something. Because these men who were living with Jesus were told, you know what, what I'm giving to you is not for you, but it's for the people you're going to write to. It's for the people you're going to talk to. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. That's pretty powerful when you stop to think about it. You've got all of creation here, but you've got heaven above, and you've got the angels of heaven standing there and just watching things unfold. Rejoicing when another person comes to salvation and believing in Jesus Christ, and just watching with great anticipation. I'm going to close up with the challenge that we read from the last part of 1 Peter in verse 13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Prepare your minds for action. A scripture tells us that we're to be ready to share the good news of which we hold our hope in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means that if somebody comes up behind you on the street and says, "What is it about you that's going on?" You need to be prepared right then and there to share what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're standing here in church and somebody says, "Hey, you know, this is neat, what's going on?" You know, that's probably an in-season thing where you're walking along the street and you kind of get cold clocked by somebody saying, "Whoa, what's happening?" That's kind of the out-of-season experience. But what we're called to do is to be ready at all times. Prepare your minds for action. For action. We're called to be active, not passive. We're not called to sit in our chairs and just take everything in. We're called to be refueled and refilled in this place and in by the words that we receive, but to carry them out and to pour out from within us. Prepare your minds for action. But it's followed by exercise self-control. What's that saying? It means we need to be ready. We need to be constantly refueling ourselves through our study of the Word of God, through praying, through community together like the backyard barbecue this afternoon, through fellowship together, through life groups together, things that will draw us together as a family and grow us in our relationship with Christ. But when the time is right, when we're called upon to share our faith, that we exercise self-control. That we don't... There's people who are more like me, where you're timid, you're quiet, you are less expressive, and when people talk to you, you just kind of you're yourself. You don't do a whole lot. But then there's people where your just excitement just blows the top off, and your passion just rises, which is awesome. I love people that are that way, that have that passion and that drive to share their faith and their reason for hope in Jesus Christ. But in exercising self-control, we need to know when it's okay to use passion and when it's right to just have a civilized conversation where people can just hear you and understand that you're speaking truth. So prepare your minds for action and self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Jesus Christ has been revealed to us through the Scriptures. We've had that revelation. We know what we believe. We know what we stand on in our faith. We need to understand that when Jesus returns, the whole world will have the same revelation. Meaning that they will see Jesus. It's our response as the church to be able to, at that time, help these people understand what it is they're seeing and what it means for them in their life. There will be a time, I don't know when, there will be a season when revival hits. And churches just like this one need to be ready and prepared. Because there are many, many people in communities just like this who know they're searching for something, but they don't know what it is. Our world is ripe with all of the natural disasters going on, with all of the things that are happening around this nation, around the world as a whole, people are beginning to kind of question what life is about. And when that happens, we need to be ready to tell them what life is about. Verse 14, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. I think one of the best things we can have as an experience in life is to be able to stand in front of our temptations and walk away from them. When we can look at things in our own life that we've struggled with, that have defeated us time and time again, and we can stand there and we can say, you know what, not this time. And you turn and you go the other way and you follow everything that God has asked us. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Love what Peter says, you didn't know any better then. When you fell into sin, when you fell into addiction, when you fell into certain things that I may not know, you didn't know any better then. But now, having heard the truth about Jesus Christ, you know now. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. I want to close this morning. First of all, if when I was speaking about life and the experiences you've had and how God's hand has been over you, protecting you and preserving you for the time you can receive salvation, maybe that time is right now. Maybe those dots begin to connect and you say, wait a minute, I'm starting to understand what happened here. And you know what, God, I believe. I believe that you protected me from those situations and from those scenarios in my life, and it was for a reason. If that was you, I want to pray together. I'm going to pray for anyone who would like to receive Jesus Christ this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand and come forward. But what I am going to ask is that if you make this decision, if you pray along with me this morning, that you tell someone. Tell someone you came with. Tell someone that you see that you made that decision to receive Jesus Christ. One, we want to celebrate that with you. Two, we want to encourage you and support you and help you to be rooted strongly in that decision in your faith. It's important that you tell somebody so you can begin to grow in relationship with other believers that will help you become strong in your faith. So first, we're going to pray for anyone that would like to be saved, and then we will close in a word of prayer and be dismissed. So I'd ask if you are at the point where you're ready to receive salvation this morning, you're ready to give your life to Jesus after realizing he has preserved you, he has protected you, he has brought you for a purpose, that you would pray with me. You don't have to pray out loud. Pray to yourself. Mean it with who you are. But Jesus, let's pray together. Jesus, I realize that without you, I am broken. I am apart from you. I am apart from God. Jesus, I believe in what you did on the cross for me. I believe that you took my sin and my failings and you wore them on your shoulders. I believe that you died for me and you were raised back to life, defeating Satan and his hold over me. I stand in victory by your name, Jesus. I ask that you would come and take my heart, take my life, and restore me into the creation I'm supposed to be. We thank you, Jesus. We pray your holy name. Amen. Let's close together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for anyone, Lord, who has just received you by faith. Lord, we pray for them right now, God, that you would just lift them up, that you would give them strength and courage to reach out and connect with people. Lord God, I thank you for each and every person in here who can look back on their own life and realize that, yes, you did preserve who they are. That you did create us with a purpose and you have called us to live in faith. Father, I pray that you would help us to be prepared for action. We thank you, Jesus, for the challenge you've given us this morning. Just pray a blessing over each and every person as they leave this morning, as they go about their day, if they go to the barbecue and everything, Lord God. We just ask for good fellowship and safe travels. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming out this morning. I hope to hope you can make it out to the barbecue following service. And otherwise, have a great weekend. We hope to see you again.
What it sounds like, this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like when the church is alive, this is what it sounds like.